Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text that we're going to meditate on to talk about today is the very words we just heard there from Philippians 1. But I'm going to reread them because they're really important words. They're verses 9 and 10 especially, where it says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." Oh Lord, I pray that you open my mouth, fill me with your Spirit, that the words that I have to say are the words that you want for me to say, Lord. I pray that these words are ones that we are open to, that you can open our hearts and our minds to hear those words. In Jesus' name, amen. So I already shared with you today that we're going to talk about this fourth spiritual discipline. We've had three that we've talked about already in the last couple weeks. And today it's going to be on discernment. And before we get into this discussion of discernment, I want to remind you about the spiritual disciplines. Nowhere in the Bible does it say spiritual disciplines are the law. You have to do these things. But rather, spiritual disciplines are things that will help bring you closer to Jesus. They're things that as you follow through on them and you do them, they'll strengthen that bond that you have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They'll help you through those difficult times. They'll give you strength and desire to be with Him more. And when times get tough or when times are good, they're going to help you get through those situations and be able to share His love with others. And is there anything better than that, than to be closer to Jesus, to be able to have the answers in times of trouble? Isn't that what we all want in our life? So that's why we do these spiritual disciplines. And so today we're going to talk about a discipline that, you know, quite frankly, I think I've got down pretty good. You're laughing? Today it's discernment. And I can even give you a great example of this discernment. Some of you might know that over the last couple months, I've figured that maybe I should get into shape a little bit better, and I've been running a little bit more and playing basketball, and about a month ago, while playing basketball, I hurt my knee a little bit. So you might have seen me limping once in a while, and so with the wisdom and discernment that I've received, I decided to go to the doctor this last week on Tuesday. Makes sense, right? And so on Tuesday, when I went to the doctor said, "Yep, your knee is hurt. I'm not quite sure what it is." She took an x-ray, but you should go to physical therapy. And so I called the physical therapist up and I said, "Okay, I'm supposed to set up some physical therapy appointments. When should I do this?" And they said, "Well, what's wrong with your knee?" I said, "I'm not sure. The doctor said it's hurt and I should go to physical therapy." And so the receptionist at the other line says, "Well, don't you think it'd be easier to do physical therapy if you see somebody and know what's wrong with it?" I said, "Well, yeah." So, of course, again, great discernment, I decided to agree with this receptionist at the other end of the line and go see the med sport doctor at the university because it was a sports injury, and so seeing the medical sports doctor would be the right thing, right? So Friday, well, actually, so when the doctor originally talked to me, the first doctor, she said, "Well, it is hurt," and I said, "You know, does that mean I can't play basketball or keep doing my exercises?" Because I know that, again, with great discernment, that if I stop running and if I stop playing basketball, I probably won't start up again for a while. I mean, you can relate to that a little bit once in a while, right? So she says, "Well, if it hurts, you shouldn't, so you probably shouldn't, but I'll give you some pain medicine to help you through." So I'm thinking here in great discernment, I don't want to stop, so if I take the pain medicine, I should be able to keep exercising, right? So Tuesday, I get the doctor's appointment set up for Friday, and I'm thinking Wednesday morning, I get up, and I'm going to do my regular treadmill exercise. I'm running, and I get to 3/4 of a mile, and my knee starts really hurting, more than it's hurt in a long time, worse than ever. And my kids can attest to this. I hit a mile, and I had to stop. I was in so much pain, I pretty much crawled up the stairs. I was a little bit worried that maybe I didn't have the best discernment. Turns out that it wasn't a big deal. It was tendonitis in my knee and bursitis, and not a big deal. But you know what? Is this the kind of discernment we're talking about today? Oh, so I can still say I've got discernment nailed, right? Or is it? When we talk about discernment, don't we want God's guidance and direction in every aspect of our life? Not just the big decisions in our life? I don't know about you, but I do. I mean, it might sound trivial, but if I'm going to injure my knee a little bit more by running on the treadmill, I think I would like God's discernment and direction in my life. Don't you? Oh, so maybe this does apply more to me. Maybe I do have a little work on this. Well, I don't know, but whenever I want to learn more about something and you know, understand fully what it means, because discernment's kind of a mouthful. I don't know. Do you use that word every day in your daily conversation? I went to the dictionary. Okay, what is discernment? And discernment definition, and if you go to dictionary.com, the first definition makes a lot of sense. It really helped me out. It's the process of discerning. Awesome. Thank you. That sums it up. Although after the second or third definition you hear, it is the acuteness of judgment and understanding. Acuteness of judgment and understanding. I guess that sort of helped. But, you know, we've been talking about these little pamphlets, and we still have quite a few of them out there in the lobby. If you want to grab one of these, the discernment section is on page 12 of the little pamphlet. And at the bottom of that page 12, it gives maybe a little better definition. It helps us out a little bit. It says, discernment, the Spirit-inspired ability to separate our imperfect will from God's perfect will in recognizing, judging, and choosing what is right, what is good, and what is pure from what is wrong, evil, and impure. Now, I'm not saying that my desire to exercise was wrong, evil, impure. It just may not have been wise. But having God's discernment in every aspect of our life can help us get through these situations, don't you think? So how do we do this? How do we hear God's voice? How do we discern the right decisions? Well, first of all, I guess the question is it possible to hear God's voice with confidence? Sure. Absolutely. You know, there's a philosopher and writer named Dallas Willard, and he wrote a book called Hearing God. I don't know if you've ever read this book, Hearing God. It's an interesting book. It gives you a lot of good information about listening to God's voice. And in this book, it says, hearing God is a reliable day-to-day reality for people with good sense is possible, just as you were just sharing with me. Absolutely we can. He says that this conversational relationship with God is for those who are devoted to the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. It's for the disciple of Christ who has no higher preference than to be like him. Do we want to be like God? Be like Jesus. Do we want to follow the example of Jesus? Well, of course. I mean, Jesus is the perfect example for us. So if we want to follow Jesus, we should want to be like him. And if we want to have this relationship with Jesus, it's pretty hard to imagine a relationship without hearing the other person. I think of the relationship I have with my wife. If I'm not listening to what she has to say, it's not much of a relationship. It might be happier sometimes, la, 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 I'm not hearing any problems. But it's not much of a relationship, is it? No. So if we want to have a relationship with Jesus, we need to hear his voice. We need to hear what he has to say for us. In fact, the Bible is always our authority. It's always our guide to help us to listen to God. And we can even say in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, and I'll let you, we're going to refer to that passage a little bit later, but look up 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and inspired by him to help us out through our daily life. So, what are the methods? How can we hear God's call? Is there a particular method that you can have? Well, I want to be careful before we get into thinking that there's this little magic process that we can get into to hear God's voice. It's not like, you know, you put 75 cents into the vending machine, you know, the method of putting the quarters in, and out pops God's voice. It can be different for each and every one of us. God's voice comes to us in many different ways. God is sovereign, he's powerful, and he has the exact way that he wants to speak to us. And your way of hearing God may be different from my way of hearing God. His voice may be a little bit different in the method that he talks to you. We all are created individually, special gifts and abilities, and created with our own desires in the way that he relates to us. My relationship with my wife may be very different from the way Pastor Brian has a relationship with his wife, and you have with your spouse, and you have with your parents, and etc. So the relationship that we have, while God calls us to be in relationship with him, may be different for each one of us. But on the other hand, we can't just be passive and say, God will speak to me whenever. We should be looking and seeking for God, looking for his voice to talk to us on a daily basis. Because if we don't prepare ourselves in any way, what happens so often? When do we want to hear God's voice? When we want it, because we're in trouble. Oh God, I have this huge decision tomorrow, and I need to make the decision by midnight tonight. Give me the answer now. And we haven't prepared and learned how to speak to God and how to hear His voice. Are we going to hear it? We might. God could do that, but we should prepare our hearts, we should prepare our minds on how to hear God's voice. Seldom will God speak to us if we're not preparing our hearts and our minds. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. Do you think Moses was preparing to hear God's voice when he was walking by that burning bush? I think that may have surprised him a little bit. So God can speak to us if we're not ready and preparing our hearts. But we should want to build that relationship with Jesus so that we can be ready to hear His voice and discern what He's saying to us. So let's go back to that initial question, though. Does God speak to us? And I heard a lot of spatterings of, well, yeah, of course. Well, if we look at John 10, verse 4, we hear Jesus saying, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." I don't know about you, and I guess I struggle with this the more and more I look into what a sheep is and that relationship with the shepherd. Because growing up, I see these pictures of this good shepherd, and Jesus looks really cool as the good shepherd, and these sheep are really nice-looking sheep, but are sheep nice-looking normally? And if you learn more about sheep, sheep are kind of dumb animals, aren't they? And the shepherd has to take his staff and whack him upside the head once in a while to get these sheep to go where they want. And so, you know, I struggle with this picture because I'm growing up seeing all these beautiful pictures of Jesus and the good shepherd and these nice sheep. And here Jesus says, "The sheep hear my voice and they listen to me." And we go on to Psalm 23, one of these fantastic verses of comfort. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." The good shepherd is speaking to his sheep. But where are these sheep? Are they like most sheep, wandering the errant path? No, because when that happens, what does a shepherd have to do? Whack the sheep upside the head and get them back there. But the sheep that are hearing God's voice are in that quiet pasture, together listening to Jesus. I'd liken it to maybe they're already following spiritual disciplines, being there in the company of the shepherd. Now, sheep can't read, and sheep can't pray, and sheep don't fast. But if these sheep were doing those things, wouldn't they be happening there in the pasture, in the presence of the shepherd, as opposed to off the path where they want to go on their own? Some food for thought there, don't you think? But just like that good shepherd, is God always speaking to us every minute of every day? Absolutely. In one sense, God is always speaking to us. He's speaking to us through all that He's created here in the earth. He's created the birds, He's created creation. Everything around us, God is speaking to us through. Can God be telling us what a mighty and powerful God He is when we look outside and see a storm brewing? Can God be speaking to us of what a loving, caring God He is when we look and see the home that He's provided for us? Sometimes we don't want to hear those things. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our worries and our cares and our fears that we're not thinking about how God is taking care of us and how He can be speaking to us. But in another sense, God isn't speaking to us. He doesn't want to tell us what to do and where to go. God lets us decide for ourselves. We talked last week about silence and solitude, didn't we? And He wants us to be quiet, to be with Him in prayer and supplication. So going back again, how do we go about hearing God's word? Well, the first thing is we can ask Him. We can ask Him to send that Holy Spirit down to us to fill us. And be that small, quiet voice to direct us, to guide us, and to lead us. Going back to that passage, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, it says that we should be competent to do all of God's work. The idea that God impresses upon our minds are always consistent with what He says in the Bible, that He's always there. Sometimes God's thoughts come to us in small, quiet voices. Sometimes it may come to us in big experiences. It might come in a dream, in a vision. It might even be the angels coming to us. We hear all of those examples in the Bible, don't we? But are we so afraid to ask him to come to us in those ways today? Are we ready to hear God come to us in those ways? Are you asking him to speak to us and hear what he has to say? We need to stress that we learn to hear God's voice by practicing it, by asking him to come and speak with us. Each of us needs to learn how we can personally hear that voice of God in our lives. Truly, this is a culmination of the spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about the last couple weeks. Through fasting and prayer, through worship, through silence and solitude. When we do these things, we have a better opportunity to discern God's voice speaking to us and talking to us. But you know what? When we're open to hearing God's voice, when we're open to hearing what God has to say for us, what happens? Is there somebody else's voice that may come out? Have you ever been in that situation where you heard somebody say, to you even, God told me to tell you to do this? And it sure felt awfully self-serving to that other person. How do we hear God's voice and separate that from somebody else's voice? From our self-serving desires, from our sinful flesh, from the devil coming in and giving us those thoughts? Because quite frankly, isn't it neat to say, God told me to do something that I really want to do? So how do you do that? How do you discern God's voice from other voices? Well, the Bible teaches us that it's important to discern these voices in 1 Corinthians 12. In fact, in 1 John 4 verse 1, we can even test the spirits to see whether they're from God. As we hear this, we who trust in the name of Jesus can learn what God is saying to us. In 1 John 2 verse 27, we can hear that this inner teacher, the Holy Spirit, abides in us and teaches us all that we need to know. Jesus says over and over again that he is our good shepherd. We are his sheep. He takes care for us and that he would lay down his life for us. But you know, in John 10, and you can write this down and look at it later, John 10 verses 1 through 21, we need to differentiate from the hired shepherd that's there to entrap us and snare us from the good shepherd that loves us and cares for us. So what are these methods to discern God's voice? Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Anybody remember this verse? Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things that you did not know. God isn't reluctant to speak to you when you ask him. God loves to speak, but are we listening? Are you asking him to speak to you? Are you asking him to give you discernment, to hear his voice? You know what? Our kids hear God's voice more often than we do. Don't we? Maybe even you can think back and think, as a child, did you listen to what God had to say? Did you hear God's voice as a child? But now as we're getting older, we get distracted. We get focused on the worries and cares of this world. And we kind of forget to listen to what God has to say. We kind of forget to follow these spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about. Sure, every Sunday we may come and worship and we may come and pray. And we may even have a couple minutes of silence and solitude during the prayer time. But are we practicing this on a daily basis? Are we asking God in our daily life to do that? A couple weeks ago, we heard Pastor talking about fasting and praying. I guess that would have been 3 weeks ago. And when we fast and pray, we can listen to God and discern his guidance through that. When we focus on what we are doing in fasting and praying, we have to remember, though, that it's not like a magic genie bottle. The first time we start to fast and pray, what happens? Do we get distracted by the hunger pains? Or are we doing it right? Or is this the right thing for me to be doing at this point in time? Usually. It has to be a habit of replacing those things, whether it's digital media that you're fasting from, whether it's food that you're fasting from. It has to be a habit of saying, I'm replacing these things with God in my life. I'm not just going to focus on, I'm hungry, or where's my BlackBerry, where's my PDA, I need to check my email, which can be easy to do the first time we fast from those types of things. But we need to put God in our life and replace those things with God and with Jesus. Dr. James Dobson, Many of you have heard of him as an author that talks about bringing up boys and bringing up girls and a great parenting type teacher and focus on the family. He has a specific thing that he does every day. And he starts like this. He says, I get down on my knees and say, Lord, I need to know what you want me to do, and I am listening. Please speak to me through my friends, through my books, through the magazines I read and I pick up, and through all the circumstances of my life. It's a pretty simple approach, isn't it? Going to God and saying, would you speak to me in every aspect of my life? Would you help me to remember that as I go through my day that you can speak to me and tell me the things that I need to know through my daily life? How about observing a regular time every day just to stop, to be quiet like we spoke about last week, in silence and solitude, and ask God to speak to you? Just like we can set aside time to read or study the Bible, pray through the Scriptures. Pray and intercede for other people. Ask God, what do you want to say to me? What are you doing that you want me to participate in with me? Go back to the Old Testament. You remember Samuel? In 1 Samuel 3, verses 9 and 10, what did he say? Samuel, the young boy, said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Are you doing that? Are you telling God, speak, I am listening to you. I want to hear what you have for me today. To listen to God truly is a spiritual discipline. It's a practice alongside all other disciplines, like the ones that we've been talking about, that we have to practice. And as we do, it can strengthen and build a relationship with Jesus. One of the neat things that you can do to also verify that what you think you're hearing God as you're learning this is write it down in a journal. Joe Kozel comes on Sunday mornings and he prays here in the sanctuary. Then he spends time with other folks praying over the service, over you sitting in these pews. And as he hears God's message, he writes it down. And then he shares it with Pastor, or today he shared it with me, to see if those words, to be able to bounce it off another elder or another person in the congregation, see if those words truly are from God. And so often those words absolutely are in line with what Pastor's going to say for the Sunday, or what I was going to say today. As you do that, you can bounce it off of another friend. You can journal and see how is God fulfilling those promises that he said to you through those things that you were writing down. As you think you were hearing God's message, write it down and share it with other people so that you can see how God is working through you and with you. But what do you do when you think you've heard God's word? Continue to pray about it. Continue to check and to double check. Is this God what you're saying for me in my life? But what happens if God is silent? What happens if you don't think you're hearing God's message? I think at that point you should stop and see if you're asking the right question. Because God does want to talk to you. He does want to share with you his word. The problem may be in that very question. Not is he talking to you, but am I listening? And you may have to prepare your heart. You may have to wait a lot longer than you want to. Isn't that the big problem with American culture today, is lack of patience? We want it here and we want it now. Abraham had to wait how many years for the promised son, even though he tried to take things into his own hands? In the same way, we also need to wait, listen to God, continue to talk to him, build upon those first spiritual disciplines, and ask him for his guidance, for his direction, and to hear his voice. Is that something we can all do? Absolutely. Amen.